to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Then Gretzky ends 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name is Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. The summer clearance sales event continues, everybody. Glad to have you on board. 5:15 tonight, Sean Belizean will join us. He is a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network. Talk a little Lions football coming off that 24-10 win against Indianapolis. Talk some Ohio State football tonight at about 5:35. Nick Petrovich will join us just back from Columbus. So some football talk here tonight, again, on the show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. All the guests, by the way, appear courtesy of the Vito's Pizza phone line. A Reeve Detroit Tigers report. They're in Texas tonight. They dropped a 6-2 decision last night. They've dropped on the year now to 53-65, 12 games under 500. And, you know, I started looking into some things today for the Detroit Tigers. Now, get this. The Detroit Tigers, by the way, are fifth in all of baseball in average runs per game scored. Only the Cubs, only Kansas City, Boston, and Miami are clubs. Well, better than excuse me, I'll rephrase that. My apologies. They're fifth. And teams like the Cubs, Boston, Kansas City, Miami, the Indians are teams that are scoring less runs per game than the Detroit Tigers. Those teams obviously a lot better in the standings. But then you get to the rubber, you get to the pitching side of things. In ERA, Detroit is 29th in the league. Only one team in Major League Baseball has a worse earned run average, and that is the Cincinnati Reds. The Tigers are giving up 10 hits per game. That is one of the worst numbers in the league. 29th, by the way. Only one team giving up more hits per game. And they are the 26th best team in baseball in walks. So there you have it. Tigers really fifth in runs scored, beating clubs like the Indians and the Cubs, scoring more in those teams, and the Boston Red Sox, but they can't pitch. And I guess that leads to the, you know, curious question. Again, the Tigers, via the trade route with both Arizona and the Chicago Cubs, they get five infielders. Now, that being said, the likes of Bo Burrows, the kid they got from Florida, of course, in the first round this year. They have some young pitchers, and hopefully that will work out. The majority of this, by the way, is coming via the bullpen, a lot of these big runs. JV will go tonight for the Tigers. They take on Texas again. They lose 6-2 last night. That game, of course, it was in Arlington. So, again, Tigers hitting the ball. Tigers can't stop anybody from scoring. And besides that, maybe the worst, I did look up the stolen bases per game. That's near the bottom as well. And they're just a horrible base-running team. It kind of leads to the question. I'm going to get Sean Belizean on here. You know, the likes of Jim Caldwell and Jeff Blashill, the head coach of the Red Wings, and Brad Ausmus, the manager of the Tigers. Really, of those three, who do you think has the best job security? Listen, I think Caldwell's got to do something this year. I don't believe Brad Ausmus will be back. I think there's some heat on Jeff Blashill, no doubt about that. We will keep a close eye on things as time moves on. Good question for Sean Belizean, talking Detroit Lions football at 5:15 tonight, by the way, and talking Ohio State at 5:35. Again, the summer clearance event continues here at the Superstore. $158 a month. How about this? For a 2017 Dodge Challenger RT Hemi, visit MonroeSuperstore.com. This event also brought to you by Monroe Golf and Country Club. Back with Sean Belizean after this timeout. This is Drive Time.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. This is Drive Time, as always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board. Little Ohio State football talking about 5:35 tonight. Nick Petrovich from Columbus, Ohio. The Buckeyes, of course, open up on the 31st of August. Looking today, that's a conference game against Indiana. First time since 1976 that the Ohio State Buckeyes have opened their season with a conference game. Speaking of football, we watched the Lions on Sunday walk off the field with a 24-10 win over the Indianapolis Colts. Joining us now, of course, we are a Detroit Lions affiliated station in Northwest Ohio. Joining us now, a member of the Detroit Lions Radio Network and many, many, many other things, Sean Belizean, who got his start, I believe, here in Toledo a long, long time ago. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Excellent. Hey, I'm doing very well. You're absolutely right. I mean, so many friends down there with Cumulus, and right where you are, Ralph Mahalik, got a chance to know Ralph, his time around the Whalers. So a lot of friends, including you down there. It's a pleasure to talk with you, Mike.
No, great to hear your voice as well, and getting some work, Sean, as well, with the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes. I mentioned a member of the Detroit Lions radio network. The first thing I looked at before we talk about the injuries, of course, this being an Ohio State-affiliated station, we have Michigan as well in the Cumulus Cluster, so nobody panic here. But Taylor Decker, the Ohio State Buckeye first-round draft choice going down. Give me, Sean, if you could, a little bit of a thumbnail sketch. How did Greg Robinson play in your eyes on Sunday?
Well, by all accounts, he was outstanding. You know, this is an interesting situation because here's a guy, Mike, by all accounts, he was dominant in college. I mean, he was so dominant. Look where he went in the National Football League draft. And it just didn't work in his time with the Rams. And, you know, there are many theories to that. The easy route is to say, well, he was a bust. Or you can sit back and say, okay, maybe if we use him in this capacity, if we try to make what we're doing fit his skill set as opposed to the opposite, you know, maybe we can get the best out of him. I know in talking to Coach Caldwell yesterday, they really liked what they saw on tape. They really liked how it presented itself. But make no mistake about it, the injury to Taylor Decker is one that really, really hurts. This is a young man that did so well last year. And let's face it, when you bring in Robinson, you bring in on the other side TJ Lang, this was a line that was supposed to be a very good line this year. It may still be, but make no bones about it. Losing Taylor Decker for any amount of time is a definite bruise to your intentions.
Sean Belizean joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket in Toledo. Hey, you lose your left tackle, and I guess arguably outside their quarterback, maybe the second most important position on the field. Then on Sunday, and listen, I hate to be bringing everybody tales of woe here, but on the other side of the ball, you got a guy that led the club last year in sacks, 8.5 per game, and you lose Kerry Hyder to an Achilles tendon injury. So here you go. 3 weeks before you open the season, of course, the Lions have the Jets at home on Sunday, Sean Belizean. You've lost your left tackle and your leading pass rusher last year. So I guess depth, something that the new general manager Bob Quinn has talked about a lot, really coming into play here early. The more depth you have in the National Football League, the better.
Well, Mike, you know a little something about wanting to go get the depth from your time, you know, in that position as well. Granted, it was the world of hockey, but depth is depth. I think the reality is you lose Hyder, and then you have Brandon Copeland go out, too, with a torn pec. It's not official yet, but the reports are everywhere. I think it'll filter out very, very quickly that he may be lost for a significant amount of time. This puts it to the test. You know, the one thing that you can say about Bob Quinn, and you know how cynical Detroit Lion fans are, and let's face it, rightfully so in so many regards, they're just waiting to pounce on a guy. Well, the interesting thing about Bob Quinn, you haven't heard that from anybody yet. This is a guy that has come in. He has said, we're going to build from the ground up. We're going to start with the foundation on both sides of the line. You know, we're going to take care of business in the trenches with the depth. You don't want to see them have to use their depth very early in the season, but that's the reality on both sides of the line. So we'll see just how good this depth is. Unfortunately, quick, fast, and a hurry. You know, Mike, it doesn't matter what sport. You don't want to lose a guy to injury in the exhibition season. That's just one thing. You know, what's the key to the game? No injuries, you know. To lose a guy like Kerry Hyder, you could see that his teammates were, I mean, in a word, sick. You went out to camp yesterday, and you talked to some of the guys, and, you know, I had a chance to talk to Amir Abdul, and he just shook his head. You know, I mean, that the guys are sick over that, especially a young man that just a year ago, there were people wondering if he was going to make the team, and to look at the leaps and bounds he took last year and what might have been this year, it's just tough for everybody to handle on and off the field.
You know, and we touch on this in the world of hockey a lot, and I think more than any other sport, is the room. And when you enjoy coming to work, you enjoy your teammates. Chemistry is a word that's used a ton in the National Hockey League and all sports, and I'm sure other sports as well. But, you know, from what I read and what you just echoed being there yesterday, Sean Belizean, a good teammate, a guy that you love to see every day in that room, and that's valuable. These things are a grind. They're long seasons. There's practice, preseason, training camps, long year, a lot of travel. And if you surround yourself with people that you don't mind being around, very, very important. Let's go Mac here a little bit. Kenny Golladay, of course, out of Northern Illinois. Then I want to touch on a couple of guys that have spent time in Toledo as well. Wow, we're not calling this guy Calvin Johnson yet, but I saw a couple of those grabs the other day. Listen, that's elite stratosphere when you start talking Megatron, but you gotta like what you've seen from Kenny Golladay at this point.
He's been incredible. You know, the first day of camp, he made some eyebrows raise, and we were all kind of joking. I know you talked to Mike O'Hara. Mike said, well, there's our training camp warrior of the year, you know, the guy that everybody talks about. And then, Mike, last Sunday, you know, a week ago Sunday, they had this red zone drill, and he was making jaws drop. I mean, he was just, in a word, dominant. And you saw him have that opportunity to make it translate on the field. Again, it's exhibition. I get it. He's a rookie. Rookies are going to have ups and downs. But this is a guy that, by all accounts, he gets it. You talk to him, he gets it. He's got that prototypical size. This is, to me, the type of guy that you want to utilize in the red zone to make the Lions one of those teams that don't have to settle for three so many times when they're in the red zone. You know, start converting it and turning those threes into sevens. So early results are in, and the guy looks phenomenal.
Again, talking to Sean Belizean. This is Drive Time coming to you from the Superstore, talking about Detroit Lions wide receiver Kenny Golladay. Hey, let's get down over to Bancroft there, University of Toledo tight end. Michael Roberts, by all reports, has a good chance to make the team. Whitmer graduate Storm Norton over at left tackle. I would say that's a bit of a long shot. But tell me a little bit about a couple of local guys. What have you seen? Have you had a chance to talk to them, Sean?
I have not had a chance. I had a chance to talk to Roberts very, very early in the process. This was like shortly after he was drafted. So I, you know, not much more than that. But, you know, I shared with him. I had a little history there at the venerable Glass Bowl and everything. But let's start with Michael. I think this is a situation right now where, you know, you got to take care of the ball. And it was interesting because Coach Caldwell and his pros post-practice conversation with the media yesterday said that, you know, a question was asked about Michael Roberts. He said, hey, listen, we got to nip that in the bud. When the ball's coming loose, when you're struggling to bring in the ball, you cannot ill afford to turn the ball over. They like this kid. I think there's a future there. I think him being drafted where he was, I think that's inconsequential in regards to what he might be able to provide to this team. You know, again, I think they're looking for some help in that red zone area. You're right when you talk about the line. That's a little bit of a line shot, but I'll say this. So is Kerry Hyder. You know, I mean, you go back a year ago, we were talking about Kerry Hyder. If you remember, he got a fine, and people were saying, well, how's this kid going to pay this fine? You know, he might be cutting everything. He ended up making the team. There are a lot of jobs that are yet to be won. You know, I'm not willing to put that circle around many guys just yet and say, well, we can X him out. Certainly there are some positions where you know the way things are going to play themselves out, but it's amazing what a couple good days of practice, what a couple good reps, and most importantly, putting it on tape can do for the lot of these guys.
We'll have the game Saturday, by the way, here on ESPN 106.5 Toledo, part of the Detroit Lions radio network. Sean Belizean joins us, and his Toledo roots and have been, of course, in the radio business for a long, long time. Kerry Hyder in the fine. I looked up the other day, Sean, what practice squad players make. They're better off than the guys in radio, let me tell you that much. So if he would have made the practice squad, I was shocked at what those guys make. Good for them. Hey, let's go north up to Ann Arbor a little bit, and no doubt, no quarterback controversy in Detroit, obviously, and unless it's about getting Matthew Stafford signed. But boy, Jake Rudock, a guy 4 years at Iowa, 1 year at the University of Michigan, high-powered program, seemed to have benefited a little bit with Jim Harbaugh. Boy, looked pretty darn good on Sunday. Good for Jake.
Mike, he is, you know what, he's proven he's a pro. It's so interesting. You know how divided things are. I mean, there are a lot of people, if it's a Buckeye, you're going to downgrade him. If it's a Spartan, you're going to downgrade him. I think we're at the point with Jake Rudock right now where you have to say, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter. I'm not saying that, you know, he's got Tom Brady written all over. But I'll tell you this, to the questions whether he belonged or not, I think he's answering them so far. Again, it's very young in the, it's very, you know, early in the process. So this is a situation where, you know, all we can do is look at the tape. And if that's all we can do, I think he looks good right now. I'll tell you this much. He looks a lot better than Brad Kaya. Brad Kaya has struggled at times, during camp, their 6th round draft pick out of Miami, Florida. But I think when all's said and done, Mike, I really do think that Jake Rudock is going to be that number two behind Matthew Stafford.
Sean, I want to touch on a couple guys here. First, Ziggy Ansah. What have you heard? What's the update?
You know what? Everything that I've heard, I think you know with the Detroit Lions. I mean, the infamous quote up here from Coach Caldwell is, check the report. They don't give out much information, but everything that I'm hearing, the people that I talk to, I think if you talk to the voice of the Lions, Dan Miller, if you talk to Mike O'Hara, they tell you the same thing. They're erring on the side of caution. They understand that now more than ever, getting a healthy Ziggy Ansah into that lineup is just paramount. It really is. So I think they're going to err on the side of caution, but I think Ziggy's going to be ready to go when the bell rings. I really do.
How about first rounder Jared Davis? You know, it's funny in this business how you keep contact information on people. You now are officially in the book, I want to tell you, by the way.
But
I had the color analyst on years ago. When the University of Toledo, Sean, opened up against the Florida Gators. And all of a sudden, we started talking about Jared Davis. I said, you know what, I'm going to hold on to this guy's number. Boy, they had nothing but positive things down in Gainesville to say about this kid in every department, whether it was character, ability, willingness to learn, teammate. I don't ever remember guys gushing like they've gushed over Jared Davis. Has it equated to the professional ranks so far from what you've seen?
Yeah, they're very happy with him. You know, Mike, I hate to keep going back to the world of hockey, but you know guys like us twist our arm and we'll do it. You know that noise certain hits make? Well, you get that noise when Davis makes some hits. I think it was the second day of camp. He made a hit where literally there was another scrimmage being run, like, right next door, and everybody kind of stopped and turned around. And it was like, oh, you know what I mean? And even the guy that took the hit kind of patted him on the helmet as if to say, that's what I'm talking about, kid. You know, this is a kid that, by all accounts, a great guy, seems like it. He's got a nose for the football. And let's face it, when you take him in the first round, that is that rare time where need and best player available came together and all was right in the world, because they certainly needed some help at the linebacking position. And at that time, in my humble opinion, he was the best player available. So that was a really good situation for the Lions. I think Lion fans are going to like this guy. There's more work to be done in that linebacking core. Make no mistake about it. There's still some depth that has to be built. But this guy, in my opinion, is going to be a fixture for years to come.
Jim Caldwell, before we let you go, his contract situation, everybody knows about that. In fact, somebody asked me the other day at one of our beautiful Kroger outlets here in Lambertville about, geez, Ausmus, Blaschel, and Caldwell, everybody kind of on the hot seat. I don't think Brad Ausmus is going to be back. Is it paramount for Jim Caldwell to have a good year for Bob Quinn to keep him around?
I think it is. That's a big thing. The one thing that works for Coach Caldwell is he's got a lot of support in the front office. You know, Martha Ford in particular is very, very fond of Coach Caldwell. The thing you always have to keep coming back to, and Mike, you've heard this 1,000 times in your business, he's not the GM's hire. And that counts for something. You know, it doesn't automatically mean that the GM's gonna, you know, get him out at first opportunity, but I think if the Lions take a step back and maybe go to 7-9 as opposed to 9-7 or anything like that, I wouldn't be surprised if Bob Quinn says, I'm going to bring in my own guy. Coach Caldwell is unflappable. He doesn't think about it. And when he says it, he means it. You can tell he means it. He's just a guy that's focused on the day-to-day. He's not even thinking about the end of the season. He's thinking about making this team better for the New York Jets game, and that's it, and then he'll move on to the next one.
Well, about 30 years ago, I walked into a radio station in downtown Toledo, and Sean Belegian was sitting there with some guy the name of Scott Sloan, and they let me talk every now and then, which I thought was a lot of fun. Is Scott Sloan, by the way, still in Cincinnati?
Yeah, he's down in Cincy. You know, I talked to Sloaney a couple months ago. He's one of the good guys. You know that, Mike. I had so many great times down there with you and Sloaney, and of course, you know, Andy Stewart with the company and Billy Michaels. Just a great time down there. It really, you didn't know what you didn't know at the time. You know what I mean? I was just a 24-year-old kid when I started working down there, and, just great memories. Glass City's such a fun town.
No, it is. And Andy Stewart, of course, is the captain of our ship now, and Bill Michaels is in the chair and overseeing, this department as well. So it's a small world. Sean, thanks for coming on. We'll be watching on television. If we pick up the Carolina Hurricanes feed, we're going to take a look at that as well. And we'll be listening on the Detroit Lions Radio Network. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, anytime, buddy. Nice chatting with you.
That's Sean Belegian talking to Lions football, a member of the Detroit Lions radio network. This is Drive Time. My name's Mike Miller. TASS Electronics update with Mr. Cushlin right around the corner. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. This show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
It's the Drive Time show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Talk to Sean Belegian, Detroit Lions Radio Network, at the first segment of the show tonight. Switching gears, Ohio State Buckeyes football. Of course, we are the flagship station in Northwest Ohio for the Ohio State Buckeyes. I haven't talked to Nick Petrovich in a while. Hello, Nick. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great having you on. Listen, I had to do a lot of research today until I was smart enough finally to voice Google this. I started going back schedules. I was wondering, when was the last time the Ohio State Buckeyes opened a season against a conference opponent? And lo and behold, it took me, I think I got into the early 90s before I gave up and went the short route. But it was back in 1976 when they took on Michigan State. They won that game 49-21, and that was the first year after Archie Griffin left. He had two brothers on the team, Ray and Duncan. Wow, 41 years since the Buckeyes opened up against the conference opponents. So, listen, it's not the MAC. It's not San Diego State. So, listen, a conference game, I guess that puts a little different spin on things.
Oh, no doubt. This is the first time since the year before that, since 75, they've opened a Big Ten game on the road. And, you know, this isn't some FCS team that they're going to blow the doors off in the first game of the year like you normally see. Urban Meyer has, you know, said he's already weary of this game. You're jumping right into it. It's kind of a scheduling quirk because the Big Ten went to 9 games as opposed to 8, and both Indiana and Ohio State were already locked into contracts in week 4, but not in week 1. So Ohio State is jumping right into Big Ten games week 1. Indiana coach Tom Allen's already called this the biggest home opener in the history of Indiana football. Granted, his stadium will probably be 40% taken over with the wrong shade of red. But regardless, Indiana is going to be very, very jacked up for that game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I guess the other side of this, listen, we have a lot of faith, Ohio State fans, in Urban Meyer. Game 2 in the schedule's Oklahoma. So as much as guys saying you're not looking ahead, and listen, when you got a premier coach like Urban Meyer or some of the other great coaches, of course, in the country, they do a pretty good job of managing things and not letting young athletes get ahead of themselves. But you got Oklahoma in game number 2. If you're ever going to look by a game, Indiana might be the one.
Yeah, and they can't afford to do that. I mean, the last time they went to Indiana, granted different circumstances, different team, they were not far away from losing that game. They ended up falling into Michigan State later that year. But that was one of the first really clear warning signs that something was wrong a couple years ago. But they could certainly, if they don't play well, they could be in a dogfight in that game against Indiana. But then you get the next week, probably the biggest home game of the year against Oklahoma. That's going to be a really important game because based off last year's game, you probably can simultaneously say that Oklahoma did not play in the college football playoff because it lost to Ohio State. And you can say Ohio State did play in the college football playoff because it beat Oklahoma. So that game, you know, early in the season last year, who knows what was going to happen to either team, and ended up being probably the difference between Ohio State getting in and not getting in.
I guess the other side of this, too, of course, Kevin Wilson, the fired Indiana coach, and his job is going to get the Ohio State Buckeyes to start throwing the ball deep, which has been a little bit of a caveat the last couple of years. Ohio State fans, open it up. Come on, throw the thing. Let the speed burners go. So that's a whole other situation and caveat going into that game on the 31st.
For sure. That's been the point of contention for Ohio State fans for a couple of years now. But the harsh reality, especially last year, the receivers really just weren't all that good. They were pretty mediocre, especially for an Urban Meyer team. They have said that Barrett's accuracy has been really, really good downfield, but there are half-truths, there are lies, and then there's preseason football stats. So I guess we'll have to wait the games to actually know if that's
true. Very good. Good categories there. Hey, yeah, I saw your story today. Nick Pedrovich joins us, of course, the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. You talked about the quarterback situation going in. Listen, JT Barrett's a starter. There's no doubt about that. There's a battle for the backup. Anything else Saturday that you're going to be looking at with Urban Meyer? You said, number one, very important to who's going to get the backup quarterback job. But what other battles, Nick, do you expect on Saturday that you think you might be writing about?
I think you have to be interested in the cornerback situation. I think Denzel Ward is definitely going to be one of the guys that probably already has a spot. He was already in the 3-man rotation last year at cornerback. He's probably your starter at the top cornerback spot. The other two probably aren't as set in stone. I would assume Damon Arnett is probably on the inside track to get one of them. But beyond that, there are a bunch of guys who have been there, including some true freshmen, and Kendall Sheffield, who came in as a junior college transfer, who might be able to crack that rotation. And the best way to see that is in some live reps. That was the strength of Ohio State last year, was its secondary and its ability to play press man. They play a really aggressive system, and you need a certain type of guy that can do it. And it's very, very difficult to find kids that can do it. So
31.
I think they're definitely going to be looking into it.
No, good stuff. Nick Pedrovich joins us here in the Vito's Pizza phone line. Nick, 31-0 to Clemson last year, I guess. You know, what's the old saying? That one's over. You got to move forward. But I'm guessing in some segments there's still a bad taste in a lot of the Ohio State Buckeyes' mouths after that loss last year.
Oh, no doubt. Meyer said at Big Ten Media Days at the end of last month that it really forced him to reevaluate everything. They had a similar game, ironically, against Clemson a few years ago where they retooled its defense after the Orange Bowl in 2013. That definitely made them think about who they were, because in that game it was pretty plainly obvious that what they were doing was not going to win a national championship.
Again, talking to Nick Pedrovich. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. You can hear me okay. I think I had a little bit of a technical buzz there. Sorry. Hey, Richard Lego, quarterback for Indiana, getting back to opening night. Was doing a little research on him today. He's got a pretty good cannon. Another guy that might be able to beat you.
No doubt. And maybe the best part about him, he's got a quarterback number in the 20s. You don't see that anymore. So he's a really good passer. Indiana traditionally, at least since Wilson's tenure and after, they've been able to score with almost anybody. They led the Big Ten in offense a couple years ago. They just haven't been able to stop anyone. That's going to be the big thing for them against Ohio State. They probably will be able to get some points. And if Ohio State's defense makes mistakes, he's definitely the type of quarterback that can make you pay for them. The question for them is always going to be, are they going to be able to keep Ohio State, you know, under 40?
Nick, did I miss anything here? If I did, please weigh in on it. You know, as you know, I say this all the time, but, I mean, you're driving around this time of night in Toledo sometimes. There's people stuck someplace, and I'm going to guess a pretty good majority are Ohio State football fans if they're tuned to this show. Anything else you're going to be writing about or anything else going on down in Columbus that the folks up here would find interesting?
Well, ironically, the part of the discussion today was about the traffic. Ohio State is going to eliminate 2,100 parking spots around the stadium starting September 5th, which is right before the Oklahoma game. So they're advising people to get there early and to park in new lots. They're eliminating two different parking lots right around the stadium. So the already fun parking situation will get a little bit more fun.
Just curious, I saw the headline. I didn't read the story. What is it going to be, construction, buildings being built there? Is that the situation?
Yeah, they're moving Cannon Drive a little bit to make it better suited to handle floods, and then they're going to connect King and Lane. So it's going to take at least 2 years of the first phase of construction. So it's going to affect the games.
I used to commute to Columbus for a year. I was doing a little work for the Blue Jackets down there. There's about two or three different routes, really two down there to Columbus. Have you found a favorite one yet?
I typically use 315 in Delaware, although that bit me yesterday because I sat there for a solid hour because there was an accident in the rural two-lane part of it.
I know there's one you could swing west there on 33 and come in from the west there. I think was it through Marysville or something. I used to try that every now and then as well. Hey, Nick, thanks for coming on. I enjoy your stories. Enjoyed the one today. Throughout the year, we're going to call on you every now and then. If you don't mind, we appreciate it. And, again, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
That's Nick Pedrovich, beat writer, Toledo Blade, talking Ohio State Buckeye football. Boy, you look at that Ohio State schedule. Again, 1976, the last time the Buckeyes opened up their season against a conference team. They beat Michigan State at home, and as Nick weighed on, the year before was the last time in 75 when they opened up with a conference team on the road. Then Oklahoma, Army at home shouldn't be a problem. UNLV at home shouldn't be a problem. At Rutgers shouldn't be a problem. Maryland, you never know, but shouldn't be. At Nebraska, then, that game's October the 14th. At Nebraska, enough said, you never know. Penn State at home is going to be a tough one. At Iowa, enough said. Michigan State, yeah, the way they're going, but you never know. Illinois at home, then at Michigan on the 25th. Back to close it out, this is Drive Time.